Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowd, "They will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and to prisons. They will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It'll lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you're not to prepare your defense beforehand. For I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You'll even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, friends. They'll put some of you to death. You'll be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord.
There's a huge contrast in today's readings between security and insecurity. And it's a lesson we need to learn because we're living in an age where so many who don't really live by faith have deep insecurity, and it frustrates their entire existence. The first reading, we see King Belshazzar, who had taken over for King Nebuchadnezzar. He seemed to be at the height of his power, threw a banquet for 1,000 of his lords. Think about that. And then their ladies. And in the midst of this great festival, he gets drunk and he tries to do something terribly sacrilegious and profane. All the gold and silver vessels, there were 5,400 of them that had been taken from Jerusalem. He says, "Bring them on in. Let's use what was considered sacred by the Jews. Let's use it for our own drunken party." Seemed to be in total control, huh? Dancing on the grave of the Jews his father had killed. Then all of a sudden, something happens. Straight out of the Adams family. This hand starts writing on the wall. And now you see the king, who previously was so strong, so confident, was no longer so strong and confident. When the king saw the wrist in the hand that wrote, his face blanched. His thoughts terrified him. His hip joints shook. His knees knocked. We can see that scene. Terrified. Strongest guy in the empire. Terrified. He tries to bring in anybody he can, making incredible promises. If you can interpret to me what this is saying, no matter what it says, I'll make you third in my kingdom. He brings in all those who possess brilliant knowledge and extraordinary wisdom. What could they do? Nothing. Because even though they were really smart and learned, they weren't learned in the divine science. And even if you're a Mensa student, a genius, IQ of 220, you too will be insecure when you start to see that hand writing on the wall. There's a deeper thing that's needed. So they bring in Daniel, who'd been among those advisors, but obviously Belshazzar didn't care to know anything about him until this time. He was brought in, he was promised third in the kingdom, clothed in purple, gold collar on his neck. Daniel said, "Keep your gifts." But he would interpret the writing. There were three words being said there. Mene, Tekel, and Perez. Mene, that even though you seem so strong, God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. In fact, his kingdom would end that very night. We won't have the reading because of Thanksgiving. But that very night, he would be attacked and he would be killed. Just like Jesus talks about in that parable about the fool who continues to build higher grain bins to store his harvest, that very night his life would be demanded of him. That's precisely what happened here. Tekel, You've been weighed on the scales and found wanting. We're all going to be judged. We don't want to be found wanting. Whether you're a king or whether you're the least servant of a king, we're all going to be judged. Jesus, you remember, wrote on the sand before those who were trying to stone the woman caught in adultery were going to murder her and try to trip him up at the same time. We don't know exactly what Jesus was writing, but many of the interpreters say that he was writing their sins so that they would clearly know what was being involved here. God doesn't have to write it down. It's supposed to be inscribed in our consciences, and we're supposed to come and change that story. Third Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. And it would be Darius the Mede who would come that very night to take over the kingdom. It's curious that these three words are all words for money. And they were interpreted. We can sometimes think when we hear these words that the word mene is just a whole expression, like a Chinese character. God has numbered your kingdom and put it into an end. Mene was a coin. Tekel was a coin. 1/60 of a mene. Perez was half a mene. So he was using the very currency, we can say, that Belshazzar had set his heart on. And Daniel was coming in and interpreting precisely what that meant. That, okay, your kingdom's done. It's fulfilled. It's the whole mene, done. Tekel, which is 1/60 of it, you don't weigh very heavy. You're nothing in terms of moral value. In Perez, which was a half of a mene, saying that your kingdom was going to be divided in half. What would the Lord use for us? He would in general use the type of things that we would place our treasure in, that we would make idols. As unsure, as insecure as King Belshazzar was in the middle of a big feast with everybody giving him homage, we see something totally different in the gospel. Jesus describes what would happen to his disciples, not just his disciples 2,000 years ago, not just his disciples during the Roman Empire, which was an age of 13 persecutions, but his disciples in every age, as continues to happen to many of his followers, our brothers and sisters across the world today. They'll seize and persecute you, hand you over to the religious leaders, to prison, kings and governors. This will happen all because of my name. You'll be handed over, betrayed by parents, brothers, relatives, friends. They'll murder some of you. You'll be hated by all because of my name. Boy, if anything could make us insecure, it should be that, shouldn't it? But Jesus says, remember, you're not to prepare your defense beforehand. I myself will give you wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist and refute. In other words, don't be afraid even when that happens, because you've got a great security. What's the security? It's the perseverance and faith. At the very end, Jesus says, by your perseverance, you will secure your lives. Perseverance in the faith, this constancy for which we prayed yesterday, that we would base our entire life on the Lord as the solid rock. Do we have that type of security that flows from our faith? God wants to give it to us. But it means living more and more by faith. If this storm we're now experiencing were to blow our house down, would we think life is over? Or do we say, thanks be to God, I've still got my life and I've got my God. The Lord is my shepherd, I have it all. If some genius hacking from China were to rip off all the money in our bank accounts, would we be able to say, I've still got my security, because my security is you, Lord. As long as I have you, I have it all. Let's up the ante. If God allowed to happen to us what happened to Job, and he took away all our family members, would we still say, Lord, I'm going to persevere because I still have you. The lesson is, if we place our security in anything other than God, we're building our life on sand. But when we really construct our life on the stone rejected by the builders, on Jesus Himself, when we really make Him our King, that as long as we've got Him, we've got our treasure, then nothing can take that away. Today we celebrate the feast of Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal. It's normally not celebrated in the United States, but I would not be grateful for the graces we received in France a couple months ago when we had Mass there on September 11th, unless I tried to bring a little bit of that fruit home. You know, that great intervention of Our Lady, November 27th, 1830, to St. Catherine Labouret, is something that we should be very grateful for and use to make our faith more secure. Mary asked St. Catherine to have a medal struck, which Mary was shown with rays flowing from her fingers or from rings on her fingers with these words, O Mary, conceived without original sin, or without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you. Recourse means not just we ask her help. Recourse means we run back to her, literally. Pray for us who run back to you. Like children on a bad storm, where when it started to thunder and light and experience lightning, we would go to our parents and feel secure in their embrace when they would just tell us, everything's going to be okay, don't worry about it. So we are to run back to Mary. She is the one who is always interceding for us that we might share her faith, the faith that will make our lives secure. One of the things about that image of Our Lady the Miraculous Medal, which we should never forget, is most of the rings on her fingers were bright like the sun, but there were a few of the rings that didn't shine any light whatsoever. And so St. Catherine asked, what's it about those rings? Why aren't they like the others? Mary says that those rings are symbols of the graces of God that He allows to flow through my hands. But the rings without light are the graces I wanted to give, but people never asked for. They were the graces intended for those who didn't have recourse to her. Today, we have recourse to her. We beg her to help us to center our entire life on her Son, the blessed fruit of her womb, whom we're about to receive, to make our true treasure His kingdom, and to seek to bring so many others into that same kingdom, so that at the end, when the Lord writes, He will inscribe our name with hers and Catherine Labouret in the eternal book of life. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to Thee.